Welcome to Nourish and Align with Candace Nichols, the podcast for women over 40, where we empower and educate you to enhance your physical, mental, and spiritual well-being. Each week, we'll dive into topics like nutrition, somatic movement, healing trauma, and embracing your fuller self. Join me and our inspiring guest speakers as we explore the important journey of perimenopause and beyond. It's time to nourish your mind, body, and spirit, and walk in your true alignment. Everyone, and welcome back. It's been a while, my apologies, but to get us back on track, I've got Kirby back on with me for this episode, and today we are going to be tackling supplements. I recently had a talk with some women and a question came up, and I thought, you know, some people just don't know. So yeah, Kirby, I had a talk and a woman asked me, like, you know, if I add up all the supplements I'm taking, it comes to 1,500 a month. And I asked her, like, what are you taking? She's like, I'm taking a B vitamin, I'm taking a calcium, I'm taking a vitamin D, I'm taking this. And I, after adding everything up, I realized she's also taking like 6 or 7 different supplements at the same time. Yeah. And I was thinking that runs the risk of when you have nutrient interactions. And also sometimes we're just spending money unnecessarily, because I know you also are a proponent that supports food first. Like, we try to get most of what we can from food first. And only, you know, the ones that we know are an issue do we supplement with. And so my first question is, what do women in this state, what do we need to supplement? I know because there are things that I am taking that I know I need to take, because I'm not getting enough from my diet. But what are those, do you think? And what are nice to haves? What can we get from diet, etc.?
So obviously, when it comes to supplements, a dietitian will always say food first, because supplements should be filling gaps, not replacing your diet. So often I'll get patients that come to me and they'll say, Kirby, I'm on 10 different supplements. And I'm just so shocked by it, just because supplements are expensive. And what we really need to be doing is we actually want to understand what are those nutrient gaps in our diet, but also what should we be supplementing, because supplements are very individualized. So I like to tell my patients to test, not guess, especially when it comes to things like your vitamin B's or your vitamin D's. Some supplements are fat soluble. There are toxicity levels for these supplements. And so I would always recommend patients to test their nutrients. We know that there are certain nutrients within this stage of life that are very important because of the effects that estrogen has and the symptoms that we're experiencing, like the anxiety and the hot flushes and the sleep issues. We know that can be linked to nutrient deficiencies like vitamin D and magnesium and omega-3. And so it is quite a personalized schedule. So, for example, like you were talking about the omega-3s, I would say, if anything, that is one of the top supplements to be focusing on, just because we don't make omega-3. We get omega-3 through our fish, our fatty fish, and through supplementation. We also know that a decline or hormonal changes can lead to us being a lot more inflamed. And so if we are not eating fatty fish, which we spoke about before, 3 times a week, can we get in the omega-3s? Now, the problem is, I will get pictures sent to me and say, Kirby, the omega-3s are on special. Is this a good omega-3 supplement? You get 2 bottles for the price of 1. And then I look at the ingredients list. And that is also very important, specifically with omega-3s. You want to understand how much you actually need. And if we generally do this, if you've got an omega-3 supplement that you're taking at the moment, you actually want to look at the label. And there's 2 omega-3 ingredients. It's called EPA, DHA. And those 2 combined need to be at least 1,000 milligrams. If it shows that your omega, your EPA is 180 and your DHA is 120, and that only gets you to 300, it's not enough. You might as well stick to eating fatty fish. And so it's not that the most expensive supplement is going to be the best supplement, but what we typically want to do is we want to know what to look for in a supplement. And that's usually what I do with my patients. I sit down, I look at the ingredients and I tell them this is how much you should be having based off their medical history and symptoms they're experiencing, etc. So that's just one, omega-3. Then we've got vitamin D, which, as you know, there's an increased risk for bone loss. And we also know that vitamin D is so important at actually putting calcium into our bones. And I remember during COVID, everyone was taking vitamin D supplements
Yes, along with
because it
many other
helped,
things.
along with many other things, but because it helped your immune system.
Yeah.
And a lot of my patients, specifically my female patients, are vitamin D deficient. It is a common deficiency. And I always tell my patients, if you are deficient, your food is not really going to deplete a deficiency. Unless you're eating mushrooms and pilchards every day, you're not really going to improve that deficiency. And so understanding where your vitamin D is on your blood test and then appropriately supplementing with vitamin D, because it's fat soluble, it stores in the liver. There is a toxicity level. We don't want to be taking high doses of these of these supplements. And so again, it's personalized. Someone can be taking a super, super high dosage of vitamin D, 50,000 IUs a week, and someone else just needs the maintenance dose of 1,000. So you don't really know unless you test.
So I like that taste and guess. Because you want sort of targeted treatment. And I think what we've been the information we've been getting is, take your vitamin D, take your omega-3, but maybe it is helpful to know like how much you are actually taking in. So, and also to have your labs. And I think the starting point, then I think for any woman recognizing that she's in this transition is to go get those labs done, and I think you suggested it twice a year, every 6 months. Well, if the
Every 6 months, depending on the case, every 3 to 6 months.
okay, yeah, it's because I know that a lot of women over 50, the vitamin D does drop, and I think I know two people who've actually had to go on active vitamin D because of the osteopenia. The effects have started to affect the bone density. And some women don't even know what that active form is because, she was telling me, but I must only take it once every 2 weeks. And I'm like, yeah, because it's active. It's quite potent. You can't take it every day. So these are questions that I think these are just things women need to know. And then just on the omega-3, you were saying about the, I mean, I've seen that the 120, looking at the bottle and I'm like, 120 milligrams, like what must I do with
What
this?
is that?
What that is that? Because I mean, let's just tell the listeners, what should we be aiming for a day if we're taking in omega-3s? What should the ideal be in total for the day, do you think?
That's a good question because when I assess my patient, I also do a blood test called CRP, and that gives us an indication of inflammation. Now, if someone has chronic inflammation and that CRP marker is very high, we not only make sure they're getting at least 2,000 milligrams, so that's double the dosage of omega-3, but also making sure we're getting omega-3 within the diet. So in situations like that, we can't actually rely on supplementation on its own, although it's obviously incredibly important at that stage. But you know what I've also found in practice? A lot of my female patients struggle with fatigue or brain fog or forgetfulness. And then because they're so tired, they think, okay, well, someone's told me to get a vitamin B shot, so I'm going to do that. And then hopefully I'm going to feel great. And then when I look at their blood, vitamin B12 is perfectly fine. And then the iron levels are very low.
Oh, yes.
And so again, it's about, we actually want to make sure that we are not wasting money when it comes to supplements. And so going every, what, 6 weeks for a vitamin B shot, but the vitamin B was never a problem to begin with. And actually you are severely iron deficient because maybe you've got heavy menstrual cycles. And so that is also a big one, is to distinguish what you actually need versus what is out there.
Yeah, I think that's why I am such a huge advocate for testing, because that was me. I thought I might have a B12 deficiency because I also had like the tingling, the in sometimes in my hands, and so I was like, yo, I mean, what my knowledge tells me that could be B12, and I'm fatigued, and I'm and it
Correct.
ended up my ferritin was extremely low. And I think we also don't talk enough about the fact that with that chronic inflammation, sometimes the ferritin just naturally also goes lower, and so managing that inflammation is
Correct.
such a huge part of
Huge
what we should.
foundation.
It's a huge foundation for what we should be doing. Yes, I completely agree. I think let's move on because we spoke about omega-3s now, and we spoke about vitamin D. So we're balancing out, looking, checking the labs. Don't guess. Preferably start with food, but let's also talk about magnesium because that's the other one that's the big thing. Everyone's like, we're all taking magnesium, but I'm also like, which one are you taking and how much? So we're not really sure, like, what dose do we need, which types do we need, because there are various types. So maybe give us some input into magnesium.
So when it comes to magnesium, the most, I guess, popular, which is really the most absorbable form of magnesium, is magnesium glycinate. With magnesium glycinate, the dosages differ as well. If I'm seeing a patient who is really struggling with sleep, really struggling with anxiety, I would give them a range between 200 to 400 milligrams of magnesium per day, and I would usually tell them take it in the evenings to help with sleep quality. But magnesium glycinate specifically helps with your sleep quality, your muscle relaxation, also bone health, if we just talking about women in their 40s, and then obviously blood sugar control. So it has a variety of indications and benefits. And then you have magnesium citrate, that's also one, and that helps with constipation. We also have a magnesium threonate, which helps with cognitive function. There are so many different types of magnesium that we can use to our advantage, but typically magnesium glycinate is the most absorbable one if we are struggling with anxiousness and sleep issues.
I think it's also cheaper than magnesium threonate, which I
Threonate,
think is,
yes,
yeah,
it
which I
is.
think is more expensive. So that is the one that most women tend to opt for.
Vitamin D, magnesium, and vitamin B12 can be quite inexpensive depending on your dosages.
Dosages. Yeah, so but I think with the B12, women need to test before they start supplementing
100%.
percent. Yeah. And I mean, obviously we are concerned if you're vegan, then we might also be
Correct.
like big question mark, like, you're not getting that. Yeah, good.
Or if you've been on blood sugar medication
Yeah,
for a
like
very long
metformin,
time.
yeah. Yeah.
So metformin or glucophage, typically estrogen is also really good at helping with glucose uptake into the cell. And so we do have an increased risk for type 2 diabetes during the hormonal transition. So making sure that if you've been on, and some of our patients have been on diabetic medication for years and they
Yeah.
never knew that they had to check
Yeah.
their B12 levels.
It is amazing to me sometimes just the lack of information that is given to
I
women.
know.
And I'm always like just flabbergasted when people come to me and I'm like, did your healthcare practitioner tell you that this is, and then it's just like a flat out no. And so I think this is why this platform is for me a passion project, because I'm like, people just need to have information because information really is power. So
100%.
yeah, so just following that, so we spoke about vitamin D, omega-3s, magnesium. Is there anything else you think that is worth the discussion in this phase of life, especially in terms of supplementation?
So those are the important ones. Iron, like we've spoken about as well, is also incredibly important, especially when we're testing, because oftentimes my patients will just check their total iron, and we know that we need to check the entire profile, not just ferritin, but also the saturation. So iron becomes very important. I know a lot of people ask me about a multivitamin as well, like should they actually be taking a multivitamin? What I say to that If I'm assessing a patient, if you are on a well-balanced diet, it's not necessary, but let's say there are external factors. You may not be able to, your appetite is incredibly low, you're struggling to eat, or there's you've got medical issues in terms of not able to complete your intake. Then I would say a multivitamin would be a good base just to cover those nutrient gaps. But usually, if you are eating well and you are able to get in those nutritional requirements, I wouldn't really go for, then I would test and have a look at actual nutrient
Nutrient
deficiencies.
deficiencies.
But it wouldn't be my first choice. Probiotics is also something that I get asked quite often, and again, it's very individualized. If someone has digestive issues, or someone struggling with constipation or diarrhea or both, or have IBS, then we would look into probiotics and how we can manipulate their diet and increase their fiber. But again, it's just very individualized.
Can we just stop on the probiotics thing? Because I often get asked, and then sometimes I do wonder, because I can spend a while in the aisle because I'm looking at everything at the back of a label. I spend some time looking at the label. And some probiotics are, for me, are not up to the grade it's supposed to be. Like, if you're saying what it must do, the number of colony forming units, the types of probiotics present in the product. And I think it's just worth mentioning that women should just check. And also, like, do we know if the formulation is only activated in the gut, because some of them aren't coated correctly. And yeah,
Is
so
it actually getting to where it needs to be? And
So do you have any it's fine if you don't. I think it's something that I probably will go look up myself, but is there anything a woman can look for on a label if they are choosing a probiotic?
so generally, you want to make sure that the colony forming units, which is the CFU, that you can have a look on the label, it needs to be at least 10 billion. They say between 1 to 10 billion, but at least 10 billion. But they also, when it comes to probiotics, again, it's very individualized because there are certain strains that's going to help with certain conditions. So if you have antibiotic-associated diarrhea, you're going to look for specific strains like your Saccharomyces boulardii, for example. If you have IBS, you want to look at things like your L. plantarum, I think that's how you say it. If you have ulcerative colitis, we're looking at a multi-strain. It's just very specific to what the patient is experiencing. And then you have a general probiotic where you've got the lactobacillus, and that is just for general immune health and gut health. So it depends on the patient. And yes, you are right. The coating does make a big difference. Because we're taking it, but is it
Actually
actually
getting
going
to
to
where
be
it's supposed
destroyed
to.
before it gets to where it needs to be? And even so, with any supplement, what I find is a lot of patients don't actually know when to take it. There are some supplements that are fat soluble, like vitamin D. You want to have it with a meal that
Meal.
contains fat, for better absorption, and like your omega-3. And there are some like iron. We know iron is very finicky. So we don't want to be taking iron with medication, like thyroid medication, or with specific food, like your calcium containing, like your dairy, your chocolate, your coffee, your we don't want to take iron with those foods. And so when to take the supplement also helps with optimal absorption, and a lot of people don't know when.
I was actually reading an article the other day, and I need to do some more research on that, but I was particularly looking at L-rhamnosus. I think rhamnosus is one of the strands in the probiotics. I think there were two of them, because they were showing how they actually helped women who had perimenopausal anxiety, related anxiety, how the probiotics with the right amount of, the fiber in the fatty acids in the fatty acids, the butyrate, acetate, and propionate, how they actually helped decrease some of the episodes of anxiety, and they were looking at that link, and so that was fascinating. So I think it's worth having that conversation. But anyway, All I can say is from this discussion so far is that women need to consult their healthcare protect practitioner. Contact Kirby.
Yes.
Contact Kirby.
Contact your
Contact
dietitian.
dietitian. Because the information is too much for you to make, you know,
It
and you need to make an informed choice that's individualized. And people
is.
tend to forget that. Don't just be taking, and also social media is a train wreck of information.
It's so much noise,
It's so much
and
noise.
it becomes so confusing. And then you end up taking 10 supplements that cost you over 4,000 rand.
Yes. And
And
it's not necessary.
it's not, the crazy thing is people start with supplements and not food.
Food.
And so that to me
Yes.
is it's
And
a little bit of a gap there.
that brings an interesting point, which I think we must say for another time, is women in this age category are not eating enough. I don't know why that is. I don't know why we aren't, but we just aren't eating enough. And I think that's a conversation we must say for another time. But do you find it as well?
90% of my patients are not eating enough of the right things, enough protein, enough fiber, enough vegetables. We even pack lunches and we completely forget to eat because we're in meetings. So we're just not getting enough nutrients.
We'll pack that in for another time. I think what I want to end this supplement conversation with is tell me your thoughts on these adaptogens because they are also everywhere. So we've got things like ashwagandha, and I mean, every second thing is packaged as a an adaptogen now that women can take. So is there a role? How do you feel about it? I know some people have experiencing side effects to taking it, but what are your thoughts about these adaptogens?
I think that when it comes to herbal supplementation, there is a space. But I think that if you're completely relying on that supplement to help reduce your anxiety, then we've missed the boat. So it is just like a supplement. It's helping, but it's not going to be the golden bullet to help with your mood regulation. And also, there is a dosage to it. And so often people tend to really increase that dosage, and there's a consequence when it comes to high, increased doses of these herbal supplements. So I think there is a place for it, 100%. I think it does help with managing mood, but it's not the only thing that's going to do so. Just like any supplement, if you are, or even a medication, if you are a type 2 diabetic and your diet is incredibly high in defined sugars, we're not really going to help that supplement. And so, or the medication do what it
Mission.
needs to do. So if we are taking ashwagandha, but we are not actually helping our nervous system, making sure we're eating enough, sleeping well, moving, we're not really going to see the benefit.
No, I agree. I have seen it. I've seen women use it. But some women need to, it needs to be, you need to be telling a healthcare professional what you're taking and why, because some women have side effects. Or
Correct.
allergic reactions to some of the types that are
Correct.
available. So I think it's so important, once again, to do this in conjunction with someone. And once again, Kirby, I will say, ladies, contact Kirby or go to her socials and see what she's putting out there, because we need more practical and science-backed information. Because I have spent some time also on social media listening to some influential people spout some influential nonsense, and I
Yeah,
think it's so
dangerous
important.
place.
It's dangerous. It's so dangerous. So I'm very grateful for this. So I think we can end this conversation here. It's given people some information, but I think the takeaway for me once again would be test, don't guess. Get to your healthcare practitioner for individualized guidance. Yeah, I think that
Support.
would be the reports. But I'm gonna say
100%.
that. But I'm gonna say that magnesium and omega-3s are worth investigating. But especially look up the amount of omega-3s you're taking in your from the supplement. Because now that I've actually seen what's in some supplements, I'm like, you're wasting your money. Bye. Because you'll have to take like 5 of
100%.
them a day to reach
Yes, you
the.
have to take six of that bottle that was on special, and then actually it ends up being even more
More
expensive.
expensive. That's
Yes.
right. Kirby, thank you so much once again. Love
It's a
you
pleasure. Thank
too.
you.
And we'll speak to you next time. Thank you.
Thank you.